Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we are intentional about slowing down and reflecting upon God's word that's appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word spoken, as you reflect and contemplate upon these words that were written so many years ago, you may see how it continues to speak to you in our world today. That we may pray that the Holy Spirit would open our ears and our minds to the words that are written, so it may guide us and lead us as we walk daily with our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now the first lesson that's appointed for this day comes from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the 17th chapter. We hear Paul making a case before the philosophers of that day and calls them to the true God. Hear this account. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely spiritual you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it. It is he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all peoples to inhabit the whole world, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of their places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps fumble about for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." The word of the Lord. For some people, this is a familiar story. Instead of Areopagus, some people will talk about this as Mars Hill, where Paul is in Athens, and he's in this spot where there's like a garden or this place where there's altars and images set up to all kinds of gods. And as he walks through there, then he addresses the people. As you hear this story, as I thought about this, I wonder in some ways if Paul's speech to the Athenians needs to shape the ways in which we talk with one another in our world today. I thought about this text, and what really kind of spoke to me as I reflected upon it was not so much what he said, but how he said it. Let me explain a little bit. What I see in our world today is we've divided ourselves up into camps. us and them. But them is anybody who's not us. And in some ways, we were caught in this binary thinking where it's right or wrong. And what you hear so much is that people proclaim, you're wrong, this is wrong, I'm right. And they're quick to point out the errors of other people. We see this in churches where it's like, baptism must be done this way. No, it can be done that way. Who is acceptable at the altar to receive communion? Must you be a member of the church? Do you have to be a member of our denomination or not? Who's allowed to be in the pulpit? Is it just only a certain sex? What about people in different relationships that are not what historically have been the norm? We make these things. What kind of instruments do we use in worship? Or should we use instruments at all? And we have these arguments. I'm right, and we try to convince the other. We see this in our world of politics, where it's like, no idea that a Republican can give is correct, or no idea that a Democrat can give is correct. And that party is wrong just because it's that party. We elevate our own position. Now listen to what Paul does. Paul stands in front of the Argapes and says, listen to what he says, Athenians, I see how extremely spiritual you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with an inscription to an unknown God. Notice Paul doesn't stand and say before them, you all are wrong. All these altars and idols you have in your town are blasphemous. He doesn't say, you're going to hell. I'm right, you're wrong. He stands before them and says, oh, as I go through town, I see all these things, and I can tell that you are spiritual. And as I saw all the things, I noticed one that stood out. An altar that says, to an unknown God. Now let me tell you about this unknown God. The God who made the heavens and the earth. He begins with where the people are. He doesn't tell them they're wrong, but he goes, I see that you are searching. I wonder if in our world this would make a huge impact when we encounter issues in the church. Can we say, oh, I see how we're struggling all to be faithful servants. What does this look like? I see that you struggle to interpret the Bible. Let's talk about how we may understand it, maybe differently, but we acknowledge a faithfulness and discerning. Right? Instead of saying, oh, the way you read this is wrong, or your way of interpreting Scripture is wrong. Or in our world, in our politics, instead of going, wait a minute, how is it that as Republicans and Democrats, we're both seeking to make this country all that can be and try to do the things that we think are in the best interest of all people? Can we talk about what that may look like? And why this approach may be a better approach than that. Rather than just go automatically to the binary. I'm right, you're wrong. Paul walks amongst the people and walks into their reality. I see that you are extremely religious. And I see that you have this altar set up with the inscription to an unknown God. He even, as he goes on and he lays out this unknown God to them, the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, who gave himself to all people and gave all people life and breath. He goes on, and towards the end, he goes, even as your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. He comes back into their world to seek to understand where they're coming from so that he can begin to reframe it in a way that people can see. Too often in our world, we don't try to walk in other people's shoes. We don't try to imagine what it must be like for other people and how the way that words and ideas get floated may impact them. Paul is walking in their world. For as some of your own poets have said, if he says that, that means he has to be immersed in those poets. He hasn't just pushed aside those philosophers that others just cast away, the Epicureans, you know, and groups like that. He's familiar with their sayings so that he can connect and relate to them. Paul talks about in one of his letters, I became like others so that they may experience Christ. How do we do that in our world today? Too often, we come at it with a take it or leave it. It's my way or the highway. This is right, and if you don't like it, too bad, you're going to be left behind. Paul becomes a part of that culture so that he can help others to experience Christ and know that God is with them. It had been so much easier for Paul to walk in and just say, y'all are wrong. You need to tear down all your idols and altars. But no, he says, I see how extremely religious you are. And I noticed, as he says that, it's communicating. He went through and he paid attention to what they were doing. He became a little bit a part of their culture so he could connect with them. It'd been easy to say, this is all wrong. But no, he goes, I noticed one, an altar with this inscription to an unknown God. And that was his end. How can we do that in our world today? Where instead of blasting people on Facebook or posting things on other social media sites, we walk in their shoes and we begin to have honest conversations with one another. Not in judgment, not to condemn, but to seek to learn, to seek to connect, to seek to share Christ with one another. Because if we're to make a difference in the lives of others, if we want others to truly experience Christ, they're not going to be welcome to a message of condemnation, a message of you're wrong, but a message of, oh, I see what you're trying to do, a way of guiding and walking in their shoes for understanding, to then say, here, Here's how I understand that. Here's how Christ has come to me. I think Paul gives us a model of what evangelism should look like in our world today. It's not carrying signs saying, "You're wrong. You're going to burn in hell." Or, "I'm right. Get on board, or the train's going to leave you behind." But it's engaging with others, helping to understand and have that response that we go, "Oh, I see where you're coming from. I may not agree with it, but I understand." Because I think in some ways, most of us are seeking the same things. We want people to experience God. In our country, we want the best for all people. The question is, how do we get about that? How do we go forward? And I think Paul gives us a way. This text, I think, teaches us how to seek to have compassion, how to seek to have empathy. And I don't think those are bad things. There's no such thing, I don't think there's any such thing as toxic empathy. We need to connect with people and have compassion for them so that we can walk with them and help them to experience the love and grace of God. That's what Paul wanted to do, to preach Christ and Christ crucified. But that doesn't mean that we just go, here's the message, take it or leave it. Paul entered into their world to connect with them, to share with them, so that the gospel might be proclaimed. Amen. Let us pray. Creator God, and Lord of all nations, you who made the world and everything in it, and in whom we live and move and have our being, we confess that we often seek you in ways that fall short, grasping in the dark, shaping you according to our own designs. Forgive us for the idols we fashion in our hearts and our lives. Open our eyes to know you as you truly are, not distant but near, not silent but revealed, in the one whom you have raised from the dead. Grant us hearts of repentance, that we may turn from what is false and cling to the truth of your Son. Strengthen us to bear witness in our own age with clarity, humility, and courage, just as your servant Paul did so long ago. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.